Hello everyone, it's Father Jim again. Today is the Feast of the Ascension, though in some places it'll be celebrated on Sunday. And then we have a 9-day novena, really, to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So I thought I'd muse for a few talks on God's Holy Spirit. Really, what I'm saying is nothing compared to the reality, because the intimate life of God is beyond our comprehension as creatures. But it's also rather probing to go poking into God's private life. We can really only know something about what goes on within the Godhead from what we've been shown. And over the centuries, God has been careful in showing us what's happening between the persons of the Trinity. I have no doubt the centre of our faith is the Trinity. It is God's feast day, and Trinity Sunday will be coming up soon. It's the feast day of the Godhead. For me, it's the most important feast of the year. So I think the Trinity is the most important thing about our faith, so that we just don't know about God, but we have come to know God, because God knows us. And I suppose the second most important thing about our faith is what I call the sacramental principle. Through the visible, we can have access to the invisible. Through the audible, we can hear the voice of God speaking to us. Through events and a prophetical word, we see meaning in events. So let's start thinking about what's going on within the Godhead, as far as we can understand it. We know that it is hell for a human being to be totally isolated. If isolation includes sensory deprivation, sort of solitary confinement, we go crazy. Occasionally, people might ask for solitary confinement for their protection or as a punishment. It's a very cruel punishment because it's not good for a human being to be alone. I'm not talking about domestic arrangements. I'm not talking about times of being alone, but just to be in complete isolation. One of the punishments was to drop people on an uninhabited island. They go crazy. So if it isn't good for a human being to be alone, neither is it good for God to be alone. We were taught various words when we were young. I suppose one of the first words we learnt was I this, I that, I. It's mine. Even infants can grab things and try and eat them. Necklaces, pull your hair out. And then maybe we were introduced to other members of the family. We had to learn you. When we went to school, we learned he, she, and it, and them. And I want to suggest that eternal life is an eternal schooling in learning these three words, you and I. And if we don't learn all three words, if we have no I, then we can't relate to anybody. Some people have had the word I stolen from them, not allowed to think of yourself. I'm going to take your ego away from you. And later in life, people will need to be kissed better again, either by family or teachers or friends, to restore to us that dignity, the I, that has been given to us. Well, when we first fell in love, we probably forgot the word I and he, she and it. It was all you. Wonderful. And so we're given an eternal life to learn those three words, because that is the language of the Father and the Son. God isn't just an ego. There's some sort of community within the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit is the and. It's amazing, in most languages, and is a short word. It's three letters in English, three in Greek, two in Latin. In Irish, it's four letters, agus. Trust the Holy Spirit to go round as a little word, and. The evil spirit is either or. You take the high road, I'll take the low road, and I'll be Scotland before you. There's no companionship, it's all competition. It isn't us, it's me versus you. Whereas the Holy Spirit doesn't know the word versus. It's and. And if a Catholic is like the Holy Spirit, the word and goes to infinity. There's a place for you and me and the Greeks and the Romans and the Asians and the Americans and to infinity. Comprehensive person is someone who's like the Holy Spirit, because God loves all. You and me and everyone. How wonderful to be a universalist in a world that now is being able to be in touch with the rest of the world and not just living in its own little village. And since Pope John, he opened the windows, there's been a certain wind blowing around the place. Our church, like at Pentecost, has been blown out onto the streets to look at the world that we're there to serve. And for a Catholic to be able to love all. Let's get it clear, the church isn't a ghetto. I remember when I was a child, I used to think about the image of the church as a great big liner, a great big Queen Elizabeth or something. And the various places in the boat, you see, the Pope's probably on the bridge, and then the cardinals are in the first class suite. And then the bishops are in the next cabins lower down. And then most of us are down sort of below waterline in the hold. We thought we knew where we came from, where we were going. We hoped there were some people in the crow's nest up at the top of the mast to try and discern where the rocks are, to do a weather forecast. But especially to look out to see if there's anyone stranded, anyone needs caring for. Well, that's a certain model. It's rather smug, I must say. The bark of Peter and all that jazz. For me, a much more helpful image of the church is a whole flotilla. A whole flotilla. And I hope somewhere out in the front there are people with plumb lines, say, Mark Twain, trying to discern where the Spirit is calling us. I know there are people at the back saying, you're going in the wrong direction, you're going too fast, check your compasses again. We don't like the route. Well, we need both. We need the careful people at the back and we need the adventurous ones in the front. The trouble is they often send mortar bombs over to each other instead of acknowledging their gifts. Perhaps married people are like catamarans. Two little ships holding hands, going round together. We hope we've got some minesweepers, because, you know, there are dangerous waters sometimes. But at least, I hope none of us are in a hurry to get to our destination first. Because to be Catholic means we are all in this together. And it's better to arrive in heaven late, when they're on the cheese and biscuits, than to get there first alone for the soup, of course. So if we're going to feel we are sons and daughters of the Most High, let's always learn these three words, you, the dignity of the other person, me, the God-given dignity, but especially the word and. And if we've learnt the word and, a Catholic universal word, then when we reach heaven, we'll understand that the Spirit of God is universal and loves all. And to also say the spirit is like a breeze, not always a tempest or a wind. When people make love, they don't normally climb into each other's ears with a megaphone. They whisper sweet nothings. There's a form of prayer where we're really saying sweet nothings. And the Holy Spirit wants to whisper sweet nothings in our ears. Pillow talk, we call it. Spiritual pillow talk. But in order to hear this silence, we need to be very reflective. So I'm ending now with this beautiful little poem by Thomas Hardy called The Darkling Thrush. The most reflective person noticed things that many would have missed. I leant upon a coppice gate when frost was spectre grey and winter's dregs made desolate the weakening eye of day. The tangled bine stems scored the sky like strings of broken lyres, and all mankind that haunted nigh had sought their household fires. The land's sharp features seemed to be the century's corpse outlent. His crypt, the cloudy canopy, the wind his death lament. The ancient pulse of germ and birth was shrunken, hard and dried. Every spirit upon earth seemed fervorless as I. At once, a voice arose among the bleak twigs overhead, in a full-hearted evensong of joy, illimited. An aged thrush, frail, gaunt and small, in blast-beruffled plume, had chosen thus to fling his soul upon the growing gloom. So little cause for carolings of such ecstatic sound was written on terrestrial things, afar and nigh around, that I could only think there trembled through his happy good-night air some blessed hope, whereof he knew, and I was unaware. Amen.